You are listening to Artisan Adventures with FGG Designs. Join us on our journey as we explore the different worlds of wood carving, ring making, knife making, photography, pyrography, leathercraft, crochet, and paper art. This is episode number one, an introduction to FGG Designs, part one of three. In today's episode, we will share something about who we are, what we do, and how we got started. Our first segment today is about who we are. Well, one of the neat things about doing a podcast together and the way that we're doing it is that we're actually sitting around the table with three generations. And that, from my perspective, is pretty unique. Of all the podcasts that I've listened to, I haven't really heard any in this format. So this is exciting. And for our listeners, I'm sure you guys want to hear and learn who we are. And so we're going to go around the table and introduce the different people. And I will actually let them introduce themselves. Maybe they can mention their names. And we do have multiple nationalities here, so that can be mentioned as well. So I'm going to start over here and go ahead, and you can tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, this is Melina, and I'm sitting next to Kent, and we're the oldest generation here. And we are delighted to be sharing in the family. Both of us were born in California, but we lived for 30 years in the Netherlands. And that's how come we have Dutch connections.
Yes, I've already been introduced. I'm Kent. And it is exciting to be a part of a family activity like this. We're looking forward to sharing with you in the coming days and weeks and months that the Lord gives to us. This is indeed a new adventure for us all, but it's going to be an exciting time. We are thankful that we can share from our life experiences to you, the listeners.
And my name is Lydia, and I am that Dutch connection. I'm born in the Netherlands, where they wear wooden shoes. Well, not really, but that's
well, some of
the
them
country
do.
Is known. Yeah, some of the farmers will wear them still. I haven't worn them at all. They're too uncomfortable. I've met my husband, Jonathan, in the Netherlands. Actually, he moved to the Netherlands when he was 9 years old, I think. And that's how we got connected.
My name is Michael.
There we go, that works.
I am the oldest grandson. I was... Like my mom, I was born in the Netherlands, and I lived there till I was 12. And then we moved back here to the United States and lived here ever since.
I'm Sean. I'm probably the most easily recognizable, being British, as you can probably tell from my accent. I've lived in England my whole life until about 4 months ago when we moved to the U.S. with my wife, who is going to introduce herself now.
I'm Elizabeth, and that was my husband that you just listened to. So I was born in Holland, and when I was 10, we moved. So obviously my brother was 12, being 2 years older than me. And I met Sean only about, was it four?
Four years ago
on a mission trip in London. That's how now the British are connected with us.
Well, thank you all for giving us a little introduction. As we continue on, well, that's right. I guess there is one person missing here. That would be me, Jonathan. And I'm the son of Kent and Willina. And the husband of Lydia, and the father of Michael and Elizabeth. Anyway, so as we start, obviously we are individuals that have come together. We also, in that sense, are maybe unique, especially in podcasting this way, because we're such a big group of people working together. And that probably sets us apart. So our podcast in general will probably be a little different than the podcasts that we have been listening to ourselves and that we do listen to, that we enjoy learning from. So hopefully for you listeners, this will be something that you'll enjoy, that it'll be a time where you learn and grow with us, since we are developing and, yeah, in many ways, not only is the podcasting a new adventure, but much of what we are doing. And that will be what we hear about next. In this segment, we're going to be talking about what we do as individuals. And I'm going to start out with Sean. Sean, what part do you play in FGG Designs?
Oof. Well, I'm the wood carver, or as some people say, I'm the sawdust maker. I started doing that about 2 years ago, roughly. About 2 years? Yeah. Well, it was the beginning of 2016, so it'll be 2 years in January. Why I started doing it, to be honest, it was because of my wife. I was not very good with my hands or what, didn't used to do anything really. So she encouraged me to get a hobby, and I thought, what better hobby to choose than woodworking or wood carving, actually, because
you did some research first.
I did some research. I narrowed it down to three topics, which, funny enough, are all included in the business, which would be leather crafting and knife making, as well as wood carving. But when I was got to, like, a break things with a knife, is basically what wood carving is, and make a mess, I chose wood carving.
And a mess.
And if I remember correctly, when you were younger, you had some experience at school that related to woodworking.
Yeah. So in England, you get to, I'm not sure what it's like in the US, I'm just new here. But in England, you have to choose subjects you want to take in the last 2 years of school. And you get to try every subject before those 2 years at the end. And I didn't choose woodwork, but my woodwork teacher really encouraged me to take it. But instead, I chose graphic design, which has obviously served me well. I've not done anything with that other than draw pendants. But yeah, so apparently I had a natural talent for woodworking, but chose to sit with my friends in another class rather than actually do what I was supposed to do and go to do woodworking. But the Lord has a way of bringing me back to that, and nearly, what, probably about 8 years later, here I am woodworking again. So, yeah.
Yeah, and may I say, it's fun to see you outside hacking away.
Hacking away,
very,
right?
Very, yes, we won't go into that now. But doing your fine carving, and just even as I've seen you develop, it's been phenomenal how quickly you've learned this craft, and there's a constant improvement. And I think it's exciting, and I'm sure that as people get to know us and hopefully also start purchasing some of our products, they'll come to value what the Lord has developed in you talent-wise.
I think when you have a passion to do something, it helps drive you forward even more as well. So, I mean, the Lord has put a strong desire in my heart to do this, so it helps.
Yeah, that's very evident. Sometimes we have to encourage you to do some other things because you can be extremely devoted in your spoon making and pendant making, and it's fun to see. It really is.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, let's go on to the beautiful young lady that's sitting next to you. Elizabeth, what is your contribution to the family business?
Well, where to start? As far as more of the artisanry of things, maybe... Oh, I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, I like photography. I've studied photography, and...
You are a photographer.
I am a photographer. I work for a photographer, so that's been, I think, probably the biggest thing that I've been a part of over the last years. Basically, since my last few years of high school, I really focused on photography. I was really enjoying that. And again, over the years, I've just slowly been getting better at it. Still a long way to go. But obviously that helps our business as well for, you know, product pictures and just taking some shots that we can be using on social media and for the website and things like that. Again, still plenty to go as far as getting a nice kind of our look and feel into that. But that's why we learn and experiment and try. I also really enjoy typography. With that, that's basically just designing with letters, designing with words. I've done some on the computer. I've done some on created products that we have. So included with typography is pyrography. So I've gotten all the ographies. Pyrography, which is burning, so wood burning, basically, or burning anything, leather, even notebooks at this point.
Just stick with your pyrography pen and don't use matches,
right,
please.
Right, right. Oh, no.
That's arson, right?
Right. Arson. Yeah.
Yeah, but if she really enjoys pyrography.
No, I'm good with just using the pen when the heat is pointed away from me. But yeah, so that's quite fun because I get to then... on what the things that Sean has made, the spoons and pendants and things like that, I'm able to burn designs and burn texts and sayings and names on products, which really personalize things. So that's more of the crafty things.
I have a question. You referred to photography at the beginning. To what extent did your family have an influence on you?
Well, I'd say greatly. I mean, a lot of people in our family enjoy taking pictures. I think if I really think back hard, I think Grandma Coon, so that would be my great grandma on grandma's side. She loved her pictures, and she would always make sure that we get at least two or three pictures. And once we have our one shot, she goes, "Oh, just one more." So I always remember that always stood out on her. And I think it sort of runs more in grandma's side of the family with photography. I think Uncle Bill also is.
Yes, and my daddy as well.
And your dad, yeah.
I didn't know him. Yeah.
Right, I never, yeah, never know
but
him.
But he loved photography, and Bill, Uncle Bill, definitely.
Yeah, Grandpa had tons and tons of slides.
Mm. Yeah.
He always had his camera with him. And
right. Yeah. And so did Grandma. Grandpa and Grandma always had their camera. And I remember some of our outings, I would just take the camera and start taking pictures. And that sort of, yeah, started that whole run of things.
I remember you also saying that you were looking for something that you could use, could do at home when you,
right,
Lord willing, become a mom.
Right.
You can still work from home to do the same.
Right.
Job.
Something that yeah. I wouldn't have to be out of the home to pursue, you know, if we want to talk career here, you know, it's
right.
Not a career that takes me away from the home. It is something I can do
exactly.
On the side of raising a family, being at home, obviously my number one priority, well, aside from God. But yeah, that was something coming out of high school, not exactly planning to get married anytime soon and having a family anytime soon. I was thinking, well, what do I enjoy? What do I want to pursue so that I could, you know, it sets me up for the future.
Yeah.
And again, I've been blessed that it is something I enjoy. Yeah. And I know not everyone gets to work on things that they really enjoy. It's become more of a job that just pays the bills. But I've, by God's grace, have been blessed with work that even out of high school, I really enjoy. And now even with the family, it's really, it's a huge blessing to work from home, work with the family, and do something that I enjoy.
Well, hopefully your photography will also be one of the forms that brings in income for the family, obviously.
Yeah.
But you do a lot more than just your crafts in that sense. We're very dependent on you as yes. a family in this business venture, because you are very good with the computer. You're very good with social media, with marketing, web design. You have amazing abilities when it comes to art and creativeness.
That's all by God's grace. That's not exactly me.
Absolutely. So, and as time progresses, I'm sure we'll hear more about those sides of what you do. Yep. But let's move on. Michael, you're a mechanic during the day, but when you come home, you transform. What do you transform into?
That's a very interesting question. Wow. It's difficult to answer these questions on the spot because some of these require a little more thinking. What do I transform into? I don't know if I necessarily transform into anything else than I am on a regular basis. But I guess my mindset changes from thinking about cars and what has to be fixed on those to what I can do with my ring making. Which is actually something that even while I'm working on cars, I think about, well, what can I do with the next ring? Well, oh, my goodness.
Okay, so what got you into ring making?
I saw one of my cousins over in the Netherlands had taken a nut. One of my cousins in the Netherlands had made a ring out of a nut, and he had made it just by using sandpaper and metal files. Basically, I was like, well, I want to try something like that. So I went out into the garage and I found some old rusty nut somewhere that I was like, well, we're not going to use this anymore. And I just started to play around with the idea, and I made something similar to what he had. From there, I really just escalated from making rings with electric sander and some files to now where I've been able to purchase a lathe, and actually I'm able to produce a whole different selection of rings, not just out of nuts anymore, but different types of products.
What kind of materials do you use?
At the moment, I've mainly been, have done stainless steel, which is a little bit harder material, of course, to work with. It's more time consuming as it's a metal. And then I've also experimented with some brass. And my most recent addition to the ring stock would be resin.
Those and are really cool.
I'm also looking at using some hybrid material. When I'm saying hybrid, it's basically stabilized wood, some sort of burl, could be maple burl or things like that, that is cast in resin, and which makes the wood a lot more stable, so it's less likely to crack, although it still does crack.
Some of the rings you've made are like inlaid. You've done metal with stone or even colored sand inlays. You've recently made some rings that have a stainless steel inside and like a brass outside. So you mix your different things. It's just not from one type of material, right?
Right. It's multiple materials combined, joined together. With the inlays, I've used rocks, I've used colored sand, even glitter. It just depends. You can almost use almost any type of material for an inlay.
Sawdust.
Sawdust, yes. Yeah. It's just learning to work with it and finding out the consistencies to be able to make it look nice and sellable.
Yeah. Well, it's been exciting just to see you learn and grow in that. And I'm wearing a carbon fiber ring that glows in the dark.
One of a kind.
Yeah, currently one of a kind. But even through changing materials, you learn new characteristics of the materials. You learn the different types of cutters that you need for those different materials.
And even the materials that he now uses, those resin ones, all of these things are handmade. So each one of them has totally different designs. They may have the same colors, but the results of them, they'll never be the same.
Yeah, they're all unique.
Everything we make at this point is unique. And
there's no ring is exactly the same.
Right.
Especially when it comes down to the resin, because of how it's poured. And once you start processing the material, there's no way of knowing what it's going to turn out to be, except for seeing a couple of the colors that you can see on the outside that will come back in the ring that you actually cut out of.
Which is quite exciting, actually.
It is. It's very fun to work with that specific material, just because it just changes. And once you start working with it, the way it just starts turning out, it's just like, wow, let's keep this going. Right.
Yeah, that's the problem. We keep on wanting to keep everything.
Yeah, I make the next one. I was like, oh, I want to keep this one.
There's a lot of test reads going around. We have to make sure they're all okay, right?
Yeah, we got to test them somehow.
Just like the cook tests the meal before she serves it.
True.
Right?
I hope so.
On to the next person. Kent. Or for me, Dad.
Grandpa.
You also play a very important part in this family venture. You are productive in a little different way. Can you elaborate?
Well, I have been designated. I don't know that I've heard specifically this term applied to me, but it is a term that I've carried around with me for several years, and that is a spiritual advisor. I guess that kind of applies to me here. But as I think in terms of everybody involving themselves and how things have developed, I can't help but think back in my own younger years that I've always had a multiplicity of interests, many different things. At a certain point, I was changing my major in school almost every semester. So at one point I'd be interested in botany, another time I'd be interested in history, and another time I'd be interested in chemistry, various things like that. Oftentimes it was science of some sort, astronomy also. Second grade is when astronomy started getting at me. But I've often described myself as kind of a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And so it went that way for a number of years. I've had also interest in carving. I've done carving in the past. I've done a number of other interesting things to me. But my greatest passion at this point is the Word of God. And more specifically, the authority of the Word of God, mainly because I see so many people that are involved in churchianity, I call it, Christianity. They're active in a church. They're doing various activities and so forth. But the basis of Christianity, of faith, should be God's word. And yet, unfortunately, most people don't take it that seriously. They are constantly trying to make excuses why they don't want to take it literally, why they don't want to follow it specifically. And I see my function. I'm here to remind us all, because I don't think I'm necessarily teaching anybody anything, because I see really great development in everybody here as far as their spiritual lives are concerned. But my position, I believe, is more just to help remind us of what our focus should be.
Well, I think that for anybody listening, you will notice very quickly that we are driven by our faith.
Yeah.
And each and every one here will reflect that, will talk about that as they speak. And we're very much here with the focus that we have because of the legacy that you and Mom have provided us. We have chosen the name FGG Designs, or For God's Glory Designs, as a result of how that faith that you've exemplified and we now personally own impacts our lives. That's truly the reason why we're here around the table today.
As the senior member of the family, it's very humbling to see what God has done in each of your lives.
Well, we are very thankful for the example that you have set, and not only on the spiritual realm, but as you mentioned, you have been involved in so many different things in your life. And I'm sure that one of the reasons that I have all the different interests that I have is because of the interest that you guys have had.
I'm sure you can guess who taught us science in school.
Yeah, so it's exciting. Thank you for the part that you played, Dad, because it's certainly an essential part in our family.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Willina, or Mom, to me, this family has
Grandma
been blessed with many talents. What are yours?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I sometimes think other people can express that better. I have many areas of interest, as have been mentioned. That certainly is clear. I enjoy working with paper. I enjoy working with fabric. I enjoy working with buttons. I have collected buttons for a number of years, and one of the things that I have done is to make buttons out of vintage ties, men's ties, and so I have this little part of the business called Fit to be Tied Buttons.
That explains where all my ties went.
We have to look for kind of unique ties that have a specific motif in them that can be used to make a button. And so that's been a fun area of development. Lots of areas. I enjoy hospitality, setting a pretty table with things from a thrift store.
And buttons on the center.
Buttons down the center have been many times the focus, along with an art object or a flower or two. Yes, fun to be creative with things that cost very little, but that give a big effect in the total picture.
You mentioned you collect buttons. Just so people know, how many buttons do you have?
Oh, that would be an impossibility to answer. Our living room wall is filled with mounted buttons in picture frames, and there are probably 50 frames on the wall, but that's just a fraction of how many buttons that I have stored.
And each tray has approximately an average of how many buttons?
Oh, anywhere from 25 to 40.
Okay.
Some of them are smaller, you know, so...
There's one.
Some of the larger buttons or very unique buttons are mounted in a small frame with just one button.
The last time I was at yours for dinner, I tried counting them. I got halfway through the wall and I was around 1,000.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea.
Somebody gave us a little little picture frame that says, count thy buttons. And I see you took up on that and started
doing
it. That's
what prompted me, yeah.
Well, we'll have to certainly get some pictures of that one of these days and put them up on the site.
Yeah.
So people can have a picture of what we're talking about. In fact, maybe we can even add that to the notes, these show notes.
I might add that this has added a very interesting perspective to our relationship, because especially when we were in Holland, We were visiting various places to learn things about buttons. Buttons are made for specific purposes, and they have names on the back of them, the factories that they came from and so forth. And we would go to a large library in The Hague and look up button factories on their, well, they call it microfiche, and find out all kinds of information. Then you have all kinds of different materials that buttons are made of. We visited Czechoslovakia and East Germany where there were button factories. And you'd learn about all the different kinds of materials that buttons are made of. It was really quite an education doing research on these various things.
Well, one of these days we're going to have a special podcast related to buttons. And you can educate us as well as our listeners.
Yes.
So now we move on to the next person. I love all these people around the table, but the next one is, if I'm allowed to have one favorite, it would be Lydia. And Lydia is my wife.
Aww.
Lydia, you are not new to producing works of art and selling those. How has that developed?
Well, you were making cards and things like that before FGG Design started.
Right. Well, let's go back a little further because I started, well, way back when I was growing up. My mom always encouraged us as kids to do something with our hands. Oftentimes, as maybe some of you know...
Instead of hitting your siblings, right?
Exactly, fighting or something like that. No, especially after dinner in the evening. Oftentimes, the TV was on, and we were sitting around our coffee table in front of the TV. But we, as girls, were often working with our hands, and one of the... couple of things my mom taught me was crocheting and knitting. She also taught me sewing, but that's a little hard behind the TV. but those are a few things that I've learned from her, and I am absolutely thankful for that because I still know how to do it. I can teach others if I want to, and if there's an option to do so, then I definitely can.
You taught me how to crochet.
That's true. I did, yeah.
You taught me how to knit.
Yes, I did too, but... You're not using it that much.
Well, I still learned
but that's okay.
It, though.
You have different things you do, but and I still enjoy doing that. Next, when I was married and we were living next to mom and dad, mom encouraged me to, well, not only encouraged me, she helped me develop a love for paper. And now when I see paper, I can't stay away from it because I just
that's
just
where
so
I get
many,
it from.
Yeah, oh, I love paper.
Like me with trees.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that relates
and
to
yarn.
Paper too.
I mean, yeah. Paper and yarn both is just something I cannot get enough of. But we have to be careful with it, of course. I don't want to.
I think we have enough for now.
Yeah, oh, we do. We do.
We but, will not put a picture of was, the paper collection on the website.
No, we don't have to. But starting to develop my love for paper and develop skills in how I can use paper in a artistic way, and that has grown over the years. I was afraid to use my skills, and mom definitely had encouraged me to develop in that, and which I did, and became more quote unquote confident to use my skills.
Comfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah. And until I was more comfortable to actually develop my own style. Right now, I love the combination of stitching on paper and 3D paper art. Combine it on a... Well, right now we're doing cards, but we would like to kind of turn it into a piece of art and maybe framed.
Well, it is art. That's yes. Why we're moving towards that.
Right, right. And I try to, when I make cards or make those pieces of art, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yes, I frame some of your cards.
There's no quote unquote here. There's pieces of art. Even the people that have received your cards through the years, many of them have framed them. Many of them have them you know, on their sills or whatever.
They don't
give them
pushed
away from the mic.
Even I have saved, actually, I believe I've saved all of them since she started giving me her cards. And
same.
That's probably good.
Same.
10 years plus worth
same.
Of cards.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see the development as well as she has grown in her skills and seeing the different ways that she's used paper, needle, thread, and glue.
And what I do, I try to make it personal. So, for instance, for Michael's last birthday, I actually made my own pattern for made a tire, and I stitched that on paper with some 3D art paperwork that I combined and made a very unique card that's only meant for him, and there's only one of a kind.
And she's also venturing into using sawdust. Because she used that on Sean's birthday card.
That is so true.
Not sawdust, but actual wood chips.
Oh, wood chippings.
Yes,
it.
Yes. Yeah, that.
Well,
yeah,
one of the things that you've hinted at here is just the fact that literally every card or every piece of art you make is unique. There's
yes.
never
not
a second.
One the same.
They're always different. And that's what really makes them so special, because they are unique.
It makes it art.
Right.
I guess so.
That means she's got well over 500 pieces of art, if not more, out there already.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I believe so, because I'm not sure if I can do that next year, but I try to make a card for every single family member who, at least the ones overseas in Holland, but also here. So, and that has been going on for quite a few years now. Yeah, since we've moved here.
We're not a fairly small family, so that's quite a big number of cards.
That's true.
Just for the family.
And for special friends, and yeah.
So. Well, and you've had some very fanatical, maybe it's not the best word, but very devoted followers in that sense.
Yeah.
Certain people that have loved your art for what they are and have purchased quite a few.
Which is a blessing.
And collect them.
I think it's a blessing, because that will motivate you to do more. If, you know, people don't show interest, that's kind of would be discouraging. But actually, we have
it's been quite the opposite.
It's the opposite. Yeah. Especially one person that's really loves my cards or the things I make, and she's very supportive.
And is tempted not to give them away when she receives
them. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you've had customers who've bought them very specifically to collect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. As for me, I guess I'm the last one here to talk about what I do. What I do right now is probably different than what I hope to do in the future, as I do hope to get more into an artisan craft. I have made some knives, really enjoy making knives, want to make more knives and sell more knives. At this point, though, I find myself encouraging my family in their crafts, at times guiding them and helping them maybe not get discouraged with the setbacks that we all experience as we're growing and learning. And yeah, to be honest, I love to see the development in each person, and I get so excited just watching them. But as I watch them and see how they're developing, it does make me want to get more into my own craft. Besides the knife making, I mean, literally, as I look at each one of these people here and see what they're doing, there hasn't been an exception. Each one, at times, I've thought, oh, I wish I could be doing that. I love these different crafts. One of the areas that I also hope to develop, along with Lydia, is leather crafting. I think Elizabeth is certainly interested in that.
I want to burn leather.
Yeah, there you go.
When she goes again, she wants to burn everything.
I want to burn.
there's just a lot of possibilities of developing and growing together and developing these skills. And it's fun to be doing it as a family. So as we continue, we want to obviously share what we are doing individually. But as we are growing and learning about these things, we want to pass on this info and help others develop also.
And coming back just to my dad, Jonathan, one other thing that he encourages us with is he is one to research. And when he researches, he researches for days, hour
every
upon
nook
hour,
and cranny.
Everything you can imagine, he will research. And he's done the same thing with his knife making. Although he might not be making knives as much as he would like at the moment, he has done his research just as much into his knife making as he has helped each individual here research for the different products they're making.
Well, that's certainly one of the things I do enjoy doing.
Reflecting back and adding to that a little bit of a human interest side is that I can remember when Jonathan was getting old enough to have interest in a young lady or two or three or four. The time that he took to put all the different possibilities down in a list and to...
I had a little black book. I remember that.
Put the qualities of each one and compared them with it. We couldn't believe the research that he was going into just for that purpose.
And when the right one came along, he didn't need any of that.
He threw the list away.
That's absolutely true.
Aww.
When Lydia came along, I guess I do have to back up and share one little story, because as I had a number of friends that I enjoyed interacting with, I was questioning, well, how do I know when I've found that very special person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? And I remember my mom saying, well, you know, when that person comes into your life, you'll know without question. You'll just know.
So and that's like, where you get that from.
And I'm like, come on, this is too abstract. I want something more concrete. But when it happened that very way. And I just knew it. And very special. The details we won't go into at this point. But needless to say,
we... I was ready to share that.
That's maybe for the future. That's
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, maybe Valentine's Day we can go into something
Talk
like
about
that.
About the love stories in this
but
family.
But this is our first podcast, people.
Yes.
We can't give away all the secrets yet. So anyway, this concludes our second segment, and we will be going into just a brief final segment as we round off this podcast. In this final segment of today's podcast, we are going to briefly look at why we started. And as I think back on this, I've always had a desire to have a family business, something where my kids could be involved in. And through the years, we've tried a number of different things, to my son's very big disappointment. And yeah, I agree. There was just a number of, like, we were trying to make specially designed planters for gardening, which was very enjoyable to work with Michael on. But in the end, there's a lot of work. The amount that you made was minimal. And again, you have to sell them. And we had a lot of friends that wanted them. But I don't know if they realized, you know, the cost to make. We've looked into different things through the years related to urban farming. We've helped people get their chickens, chicken coops started, and helping them find the best way to have chickens and rabbits and ducks and
turtles.
Turtles, yeah. There were a number of different, different types of animals that people want to keep.
In short, we just helped them establish a farm.
Yeah,
in the city.
That's what it was. Farm in the city. But as we talked about all these different things, not everyone was necessarily on track with that, because we have different people with different talents, and nothing really fit as a whole. I did see both my kids develop into tech savvy people, I'm an IT consultant, so that was really the first thing that I was thinking they might eventually get into and develop, but that never happened, even though I've often relied on their help in different projects. They have helped me out either on site or remotely, and we are even now profiting from their abilities and expertise in these areas. But it was interesting how with FGG Designs, everything just sort of came together. Everything clicked. I think Sean was certainly, as he developed his carving skills even in England and was very committed to developing those, we just started talking more about our individual abilities and how they could come together and create a family business that could, Lord willing, provide for our financial needs. And so that's really how we got started thinking about this.
I think just slightly referring back to when we were, Dad and I were working on trying to get some other family businesses going. It just was a very slow start, seemed to be taking longer than we wanted to, although investing time into a family business to get something going does take a lot of time. I think just seeing what the Lord has allowed us to accomplish within the last 2 years really provided the different tools, the different machines, the necessary knowledge to continue in our hobbies, really, for the business. I think it's just amazing to see what we have been able to accomplish in a very short amount of time, considering business is still very young.
Right.
Another thought is that the time and energy expended in any direction is never wasted, because it's always a building process, and especially building the relationships within the family. So it has been a very profitable time, even though maybe not monetarily, it's right. Profitable in other ways.
Yeah. Well, I think part of what we've seen develop is how all the different abilities are complementing each other. Mm-hmm. And there's no question in my mind that with Sean and Elizabeth coming back from England, that's really been a huge shot in the arm. Obviously, the planning towards this was a lot further back.
That's a good shot in the arm, by the way.
I don't get that expression, but
the exciting thing is to see that as we're moving forward, and let me just say this up front, we recognize with any business, it's going to be a challenge. And I think especially in this day and age, but also very specifically, we're in Southern California. California is not the easiest place to get started as a business. We recognize our dependence on the Lord in this. And we see, in that sense, a partnership with the Lord, because he's the one we live for. That's why we have For God's Glory in our name. We recognize that everything that we do, our hobbies, our work, is to bring him glory and honor. This is where we've just seen great development. I think that has really encouraged us to pursue this, is because it's not just us. We recognize that with our own abilities, we're not going to get anywhere.
And they all tend to develop at the same time. I mean, obviously, Mom had her craft before any of us did. But it seemed to be that once I started wood carving, Elizabeth started pyrography. Obviously, photography was already there. And Michael just got his lathe at that point and was then experimenting with the rings and the lathe. And then you looked up knife making. And it all came together in that first few months. So we just thought, oh, maybe we've got something going here.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it was truly God's guidance as he orchestrated these events, literally across the world, different locations, how we started to see potential.
I think also just looking back at the businesses we've tried to start, I mean, a good handful of businesses that we've tried to start, we've, you know, gotten to the point of actually naming them and branding them and really actually starting to pursue them. But we just, over the course of, you know, months and sometimes the years, there really wasn't anything, you know, we some of us started losing interest. Nothing driving us. And I think the reason why, as I look now at how FGG Designs is growing, is because each of the past businesses had one sort of theme, one sort of topic that it was focused on. You know, one of them was like cooking or catering, and the other one was like the garden or the farm and the city things, and then like what, bed and breakfast and things like that. You know, they're very specific. Whereas this business, FGG Designs, pulls each one of our interests and makes it a business, which is why I think it, by God's grace, is growing the way it is, because we're all focused on our own thing, but we're also focused on growing it together. And like what you said, Dad, by growing it by intertwining it, you know, we all have little parts that just work together. And I think that's why, personally, I've just looked back and I've seen, I think that's why this actually, well, and ultimately by God's grace, but how it's been able to grow to what it is today.
Yeah. And that's really what makes it so unique.
Right.
I'm not aware of any other business that really follows this model. In fact, as you listen to...
You don't fit any of those models.
Yeah, right. We don't fit the standard model. When you follow these podcasts and training classes that are all talking about being focused on one particular product or whatever, yeah, we realize, well, I guess we don't fit in here.
I mean, yeah, we truly are unique. We're not going to go into it too much now, as we said before, but I've recently had a few weeks where I was doing mainly research for events that you will find out later on. But a lot of the things that I was learning through the research is just show us how different we are. We do actually break the mold.
Right.
It's.
And we pray that the Lord will use that for his glory ultimately. And even show the fact that you don't have to follow the rules, especially as artisans. I believe you can kind of do whatever you want, because you're creating in a way the things that you're producing, and that's what makes you. So,
well, art is a very personal thing.
Right.
If someone just copies someone else or does something that it's done by guidelines, that's not art. That's
right.
Doing something by the book as such. But
yeah.
This is art is.
It's fluid.
Yeah, it comes from who you are. I mean, you always talk. I mean, you see some art pieces in the museum, and you think, "Huh, why is that art?"
Yeah,
but you read why they think it's art, and you, oh, okay, yeah. I can see why an unmade bed might be art. Like, in England somewhere, there is genuine art pieces. Uh-huh. The unmade bed. I mean, that's just laziness to me. But But yeah, art is a very personal thing. So when we all get to personally do what we do and we're so passionate about what we do, that's why we can create unique things.
Yeah.
And it allows to also elaborate on what we craft. We can change up our designs. We can add things to our inventory that are different and create a very unique product that it might be similar to something else, something that someone else offers, but the way we've done it for Sean's wood carving, for example, Elizabeth adds her wood burning to it. Well, it might be a basic spoon shape, but then the wood burning adds that extra unique touch to it.
Right. And even like in form, you know, we look at a spoon and a spoon is a spoon, but even in...
That's what you think.
Well, even in metal
spoons, there's different designs, different styles. And in the same sense with wood spoons, wood forks, knives, spreaders, coffee spoons, whatever, there can be its own style. And we're trying to develop different styles. And even as we've talked as a family, there's even differences here, which ones we like best. One person says, well, I like that one best. You know, no, I like that one best. You know, so everyone has their own tastes.
And it's funny how now that we're pursuing each of these things and, you know, we're getting more interested in spoons and coffee scoops and things like that.
Buttons.
And buttons. When we're out and about, you know, going to stores, we look at things totally differently. We're looking at silverware and we're like, oh, look at this shape. This is actually, let's try to mimic this or, you know, try to use some of these aspects in the things that we make. So it's funny, like, just how, you know, as soon as Sean started wood carving and was really getting into spoons, you know, he starts looking around places like, oh, you know, it's funny how that spoon goes this way. And every time at the dinner table at someone's house, every friend's house we go to, he'll always be studying the silverware. I'm just like, just, you know, leave it on the table. Let's just eat. But he has to do his little rounds of checking the silverware.
He doesn't see trees anymore. He sees his next project.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're all future spoons.
Yes.
Yeah, see, he sees trees
as future spoons. Lydia sees trees as future paper.
So
they go for me first, right?
I suppose if there's no more trees, that's because Sean's carved it all. And then if we need paper, I suppose we'll have to get rid of some of the spoons.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to go to the process of making paper out of spoon or out of wood, out of trees. But yeah, that, you know, gives us a general idea. We wanted to bring God glory as a family, and we value family, and we saw how this worked. And as God wills, He will continue to direct our lives and help us to go forward. We realize also in that sense, it is a family business. It's something that we desire will, over time, produce the financial needs that we have. Initially, maybe for a couple in our midst, and as it grows for the whole...
Well, that leaves me out of the picture.
...whole family... Yeah, well, I just meant for a couple people, but in this case, I guess you could see it as one particular couple, our couple from England, because the Lord has given the rest of us some jobs at this point. But that's how we started. This is where we're going, and we will be looking forward into our next podcast at the things that drive us as a family. And for those listeners, you're probably already picking up on some of those things, but we'll go into those things in a little bit more detail.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you have been motivated by today's topics to excel in your craft, but most importantly, to live for God's glory. If you have any questions about this episode, please write us at podcast@fggdesigns.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. or visit us at fggdesigns.com.